All right. Well, great. Well, I'm going to hop right into this and talk about Tim and his role as sustainability coordinator. So the Georgia World Congress Center Authority is comprised of the Georgia World Congress Center, the Georgia Dome, and the Centennial Olympic Park. And in this position, Tim assesses critical needs for improving, measuring, and tracking the efficiencies of a variety of operational practices, including waste diversion, energy and water management procurement, as well as working with clients to make their events greener. As a lead AP, he has evaluated the cost and identified the hurdles of achieving LEED, L-E-E-D, in case you don't know that, for existing buildings, operations, and maintenance certification for both the Georgia World Congress Center and the Georgia Dome. Prior to starting with the GWCCA in December of 2010, Tim was a LEED project manager, managing the LEED certification efforts of a variety of different building types and rating systems. Tim is a member of the USGPC, Georgia, and the Green Meetings Industry Council, Atlanta branch. And he is a graduate of Florida State University. Woohoo!
All right.
All right. Welcome to the show, Tim.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Well, I'm pumped to have you here today because I think you probably know more than the average bear about recycling. So I want to hear all about it. Okay. So let's just jump right into my questions for you. Why did the Georgia World Congress Center Authority decide to hire a sustainability coordinator? You're the first one I've actually met.
Yeah, and I'm actually the first one the authority has had. So I definitely think it was forward thinking on their part. I think three components really went into their hiring or decision to hire a sustainability coordinator. One was it makes economic sense, you know, whether reducing resources from an environmental standpoint or not, by reducing your energy and your water consumption, you're going to end up saving money or at least, you know, maintaining that level of economic security. So I think that really made sense for them from a financial standpoint. From an environmental standpoint, I think they understood that it's the right thing to do. A lot of their clients are requesting additional information about what we're doing in terms of environmental practices. And there's also a new set of guidelines for green meetings that are coming out, rolling out slowly this year. So they understood that that was going to play a factor into their operations. And also, and lastly, they just really wanted someone to guide the organization in terms of sustainability. I think they've been doing a number of great things over the years, but it was kind of always secondary to someone else's position. So they really wanted someone who knew what they were doing, who could really lead the organization in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. So kind of taking it from back burner and putting it on the front burner.
Right.
Right. And so they were able to quantify the cost of hiring you versus the cost of doing all these recycling activities. So I think that's very encouraging.
Right.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So how is this position unique in a hospitality, sports, and event-driven industry?
Well, I think this position is particularly unique because our campus, we have a 200-plus acre downtown urban campus, and it's very visible. We've got events, entertainment, sports. So to have a sustainability coordinator in this position is extremely unique because, frankly, I don't think there are many campuses like ours in general. But we recognize there's a unique factor into our operations as far as how many people and visitors. Last year, we had over 5 million visitors and clients on our campus. So the resources that go into hosting that many people is huge. And to make it a priority to reduce how much energy is used or how much waste is actually diverted from traditional landfills was definitely unique. And there are few convention centers in the country that have sustainability coordinators in-house, but there are no campuses like ours that I'm aware of that have a position like this.
Well, I just think that's so interesting. It must be rewarding for you to go to work every day knowing, hey, you know, I'm really making a difference in the world. 5 million people, that's a lot of waste.
Oh yeah.
That you have the opportunity to impact in a positive way. So good for you.
Thank you. And you're exactly right. I love what I do, and I know that I'm making a difference. And sustainability really is it's a process. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. So it's fun to see the changes that are being made and the influence that's being had on the different events internally, externally.
You must work cross-sector, you know, with all these different areas. I mean, you really get to see a lot of different things that go on under the roof of these three areas. I mean, that must be really interesting for you.
It's always exciting because we always have something different going on our campus, whether it's at the Dome or at the park or at the Congress Center. And yes, I work with cross departmentally. I mean, I work with everyone from sales and marketing to events to our housekeeping staff, and it's just really fun, and I enjoy it.
Do you have challenges getting people to buy in on a department level, or have you been embraced?
I haven't really noticed any challenges. I've been well embraced as far as I'm concerned. You know, everyone understands whether or not you agree or disagree with climate change. That's not really the issue. It's really about reducing and being a good steward to the environment.
Mm-hmm. So are you like an environmental Nazi? Like you walk behind people going, recycle that?
Sometimes, yeah.
Now, when like an event comes to the center, are you just kind of integrated into the system, or like how do they even know to get you involved?
I think it has more to do with whether or not the event is interested in sustainability. There are some events that just could care less.
Right.
There are some events that want to know what we're doing, but right. don't really want to change what they're doing.
Sure.
And then there are the events that really care and want me involved and want to help help their recycling efforts. They want to track their waste diversion,
right.
which is the percentage of all the waste that their event produces, how much of that is not going to a landfill, whether it be composted or recycled or baled.
So the event kind of drives your involvement?
Oftentimes, yeah.
And then what kind of reports can you give them?
Most frequently, it's the waste diversion report. So I will track how much of their waste is being composted or recycled and how much actual trash is generated.
How do you do that?
We work with our vendors and our internal housekeeping staff to make sure that they're going to the appropriate places.
Track, right.
Mm-hmm. And we get reports from those outside vendors, and then I compile them and determine what percentage is diverted.
Do you have any kind of amazing stories on how much was diverted?
Sure, yeah. Actually, this past spring, we had two Microsoft events that we worked very closely with them on. And actually diverted, I think it was 60% and 65% respectively for both of those events. And most recently, the Chick-fil-A Bowl was at the Georgia Dome on December 31st, and we had their Fan Fest at the Congress Center prior
right.
to the game. Worked very closely with them. The Chick-fil-A Bowl is extremely interested in sustainability. And worked close with them. We actually diverted 31% of their waste from mm-hmm. both the bowl game and the Fan Fest and tailgating events, which was we doubled the amount of single stream recycling collected from the previous bowl game, and we increased the overall percentage rate by 13% from the previous
wow.
bowl game. So we're definitely making improvements, which we're proud of.
That's great.
I'm curious as to the percentage, roughly, it doesn't have to be exact, but of the meeting planners that you interact with that you said, you know, some do, some don't, some are like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage do you see coming over to the green side, away from the dark side?
Well, what I'm mostly seeing is these bigger corporations that can afford to make this a priority. Other mm-hmm. events just don't want to spend the time or the resources making it a priority. They just want to have a good event, which is completely understandable. And we're still working behind the scenes to reduce everything that we possibly can for them. I'd say maybe a third of the events are actually interested and want to talk about it and do something.
But it must be more and more each year, right? That number's getting bigger. It's not getting smaller.
Absolutely. We're definitely seeing the interest grow, especially I know you had a guest a few weeks ago talking about the Green Meeting Industry Council. We are members or we're sponsors of the Atlanta chapter of that. And, you know, just being involved and seeing the interest and the growth within that chapter alone is evidence of the growing interest in sustainable meetings.
Right, the traction that you're getting.
Right.
Well, that's a hopeful statistic.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the existing environmental practices and initiatives that you have going on?
Well, like I had mentioned, we have a great single-stream recycling program in place where we collect aluminum, glass, and plastic bottles and containers, paper products all into a single container. We actually have two balers on site where we bale cardboard and plastic film. When we have enough visqueen, we can bale that, and we end up selling those bales for a little profit. We have composting, which I think is a phenomenal program that we have that a lot of people probably aren't aware of. But all of our food waste coming out of our kitchens throughout our campus is being composted and taken off-site to an organics composter and end up turning into fertile soil. So that's a great program that we've got in place. We also donate food and excess materials left over from events. We sell excess furniture and equipment rather than tossing them into the garbage. Wire, pallets, metal, our grease from our fryers is recycled into biodiesel. We also have four wells and cisterns on our campus, which all the water that's generated from those is going towards our water features and our irrigation. We just recently completed a exhibit hall lighting replacement and controls upgrade. We've got 12 exhibit halls, 1.4 million square feet of space in the Congress Center that we're hoping to reduce over 25% just from the lighting alone through that lighting upgrade and controls upgrade.
Is there anything in your dream list, you know, your personal dream list of what the world according to you?
Right, right. I'd love to have renewable energy on our campus, whether solar panels or wind turbines, ideally. Yeah. But right now, we've crunched the numbers, and that doesn't make sense based on what we're paying for our power.
Right now, right.
Well, it sounds very effective.
Mm-hmm.
Not too hard to do, but effective.
And right.
That's what you want. Is there an added cost for your services at an event? And roughly, you know, what does that look like?
Actually, no. We aren't currently adding any additional costs for greening of an event. I mean, really, it's not costing us anything. We're just focused on it back of house. And when an event makes it a priority, it just makes it easier on us because they're actually willing and able to help promote our cause.
Mm-hmm. There you go. So tell us about your priorities and the goals for the future of the campus. You kind of mentioned what your dream items would be, but is there anything else?
Well, definitely waste and energy reduction is a priority now and will continue to be. I think water is going to be a growing priority as the resource here in Georgia becomes more critical to maintain. We recently joined the Atlanta Better Buildings Challenge, which is a federal initiative. It's a federal challenge that President Obama is pitting Atlanta against Seattle and against L.A., downtown urban centers in those three cities, to reduce energy and water consumption by 20% in 2020. So we are an initial participant in that and look forward to working with the city and a number of other resources that the city's put together to help us reduce our energy and water consumption. So it's a challenge. It's not a mandate. It's,
right.
There are some incentives behind it with these resources, but it's a program that we're excited to be involved in. We are also members of the Green Meeting Industry Council, the U.S. Green Building Council. Future, as far as our goals, though, I think we want to maintain our mission as a campus, which is to be an economic engine for the state of Georgia. And something that a lot of people don't think about is sustainability isn't just about the environment. It's about the economic sustainability and the social sustainability components. So we want to maintain our economic sustainability for Georgia, but we also want to improve the environmental sustainability. So our big overarching goal, I think, is gaining LEED certification. It's something that we're seeking. It's a big goal of ours. We don't know how long it's going to take or what's going to need to be done to achieve LEED certification. And LEED, by the way, is Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design. It's a nationally recognized green building rating system. So that's something that would definitely, it's a benchmark that we can look to achieve in the future.
How long do you think that would take ultimately? I mean, it's a big place.
It's huge. The Congress Center is 3.9 million square feet. The dome is 1.6 million square feet. How long it'll take to achieve LEED, I'm not sure, but we have actually engaged an outside consulting company to do the initial assessment, tell us if we're meeting the prerequisite requirements that you have to meet in order to gain LEED certification. So they're already underway. We're in the process of doing that initial analysis. And based on those findings, we'll determine whether or not we're meeting the prerequisites or whether or not we've got to do some work in order to meet them.
Mm-hmm. Kind of how to roll it out.
Right.
And LEED is the standard against which everything else is held in the environmental world, correct?
For buildings, yes. Yes, it is. You know, if you're LEED certified, especially LEED for existing buildings certified, you know you're operating your building to the highest performing level that you can.
Are there any domes that are LEED certified?
There are no NFL stadiums that are LEED certified, at least LEED for existing buildings certified.
Right.
LEED has a few different rating systems, but we'd be looking at existing buildings. There are no NFL stadiums. There are some baseball stadiums that are LEED certified.
Because they're smaller.
Right. Right. And they're open air. I mean, right. I think it's a little different for an enclosed stadium.
That's very interesting.
Well, that's a big place, man. Mm-hmm.
That is a big place. I mean, you guys roll around on Razor scooters or bikes?
We do have Segways, yes.
Do you really? Yes. Segways?
Have you been on them?
I haven't, no.
They don't give you them?
I like
other
the exercise.
Departments?
He's green. He uses his legs.
That's right.
Have you ever been on a Segway?
I was actually going to get on one at Mambo's Italiano. Once,
they haven't?
We had wine at the table, so they wouldn't let us.
No Segway, drinking and right. Segway.
That's right. SUI.
Right.
It was inside the actual restaurant. It was quite strange, but but no, I've not been on one. I actually have a sad story. My niece got hit on a Segway by a car.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
She's okay, thank goodness.
Wow.
But that was a little bit scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
well, if you are interested, there are Segway tours right across from Centennial Olympic Park.
That's right. Is that part of the park, or that's just an outside?
No, that's
company has
outside.
A because I've seen them around. All of a sudden, you see them like half a dozen of people running around,
roaming around,
right by the aquarium. They go a little tour of downtown.
Exactly.
Right.
I'm like you. I'd rather walk, honestly.
It's fun to watch them, though.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun.
It's a nice alternative.
Right.
There you go. So what are the biggest challenges you've faced so far?
I think my biggest challenge is benchmarking. You know, it's challenging for these types of facilities to have some sort of benchmark as far as energy and waste, because for both the energy consumption, the waste, the water consumption, they're all related to how many events we have in a given year. What type of events those are, how many guests those events bring in. So comparing one year to the next is next to impossible because it's based on, you know, the usage of our facilities. So that has been probably the biggest challenge is, you know, I can't really compare this year to last year if last year was just a lot busier than this year.
Well, maybe you could hire an economics professor and have them do some linear regressions or linear equations and
that's
some regressions.
That's your specialty now, right?
Yeah.
You learn that?
I got an A. And for so those listening that don't know, I'm in MBA school. I'm like the world's oldest MBA student.
Well, Energy Star is a recognized energy benchmark for different building types. And they don't even have an Energy Star rating for convention centers or stadiums because of that exact fact is there's no benchmarking. So there's actually a group of stadiums and a group of convention centers that are sharing all of our energy consumption data through the Energy Star website to try to help identify mm-hmm. any trends or any benchmarks. But to this point, there's no data.
Well, I think it's wonderful that you're sharing information. I've noticed that the hotels are doing that too. Mm-hmm. And instead of treating it as a competitive advantage, everybody's working together for a common good. So I think
exactly.
that's the way it ought to be.
Yeah, it's good to see the
cooperation.
That's it. Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Collaborate.
Collaborate. That's how innovation happens, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Have you seen results or successes with your initiatives? I know you have.
Oh yeah, and it's awesome to see those successes that we've had. Like I had mentioned, the Chick-fil-A Bowl, Microsoft events, those bigger events that actually want to do something right is really exciting to see. But internally, just seeing some successes. Trying to create a culture of sustainability within our organization, I've seen a difference internally, and that's really exciting to me. We've started doing mandatory classes for all employees to know what's accepted in our recycling program. And something as simple as that, you know, a lot of people don't understand that certain things can't go into the recycling bin. So internally, it's fun to see them understanding and gaining a concept of why we're doing this, what we're doing, and how it's making a difference. So not only are we doing classes, but we've also have an internal intranet webpage that anyone can go to and to gain resources as far as how to go green in their community, how to go green at home. If you've got something unusual like a mattress, how do you recycle that? And so there are those resources and metrics that we've been tracking as far as our waste and energy consumption that any of our employees can go to and kind of just track and get more information and more knowledgeable about what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So we are trying to create a culture of sustainability internally, and it's fun to see the difference and people turning off their computers and their office lights at night. I mean, people come around and tell me what they're doing, so it's fun to see that.
Kind of gets under your skin when you become aware of it. You mm-hmm. start seeing, oh, I should unplug my cell phone charger when I'm not using it. Or like we got a new shower head in our shower and I was like, oh, this seems to be putting out more water. I'm going to track our water bill. Just little things. Mm-hmm. It really does kind of like catch on and
right.
when you become aware of it.
Do you do any like kind of any of the gamification? Like you create a game out of some of these initiatives?
I've been trying to think of some that make sense. We haven't to this point, mm-hmm. but I'm hoping to. I was thinking about trying to pit each facility right. against each other in terms of energy consumption, but
in a, like a friendly
right.
competition way, like you know how they do like the Biggest Loser,
mm-hmm. right?
So I would think they could do something similar.
Yeah. Well, I think what makes the most sense would be our waste diversion efforts, and mm-hmm. I am tracking that. So I kind of try to make that into a game.
Right.
When Centennial Olympic Park has an extremely high amount of recycling in a given month, I'll let that staff know, hey, you guys diverted this much amount of waste
right.
this month. You guys had the highest percentage on campus. So I don't make it into a game necessarily, but I do tell them how
right.
well they're doing.
You know, you throw an iPad in there, people do crazy things.
That's funny. I'm wondering, is gamification a real wordly?
Yes, it is.
Okay, I'm going to look it up.
Yeah, you look it up.
I'm going to double check you.
It's what's happening in the world now.
Okay,
everything's
I got to
get
with it.
Gamified.
That's right. All right, well, now I want to learn more about you, Tim.
Okay.
How you became a sustainability coordinator? Is it
as a little
a
kid?
Course
he dreamed. He's like, one day I'll be the sustainability guy.
Well, you know, I I admire that you have kind of blazed a new trail.
Well, thank you.
I think that's super cool. And so I wanted to kind of get more of your personal background and share with people how you came to be where you're at today.
I have always been passionate about the environment ever since a child. And I really have been passionate about the environment and, oddly enough, real estate. When I lived in Florida, I held my real estate sales associate license and eventually learned about LEED. It was a growing program and thought, wow, combining real estate with sustainability, how much better would it get for me? And so I really ended up becoming immersed in the LEED program and then ended up becoming a LEED consultant and a LEED AP. And once I've done several buildings, getting them through the LEED certification process, I realized I could do this, but I wanted to take a bigger approach to sustainability and do a more organizational or cultural program. And when the Georgia World Congress Center Authority was looking for a sustainability coordinator, it was the perfect time for me, and I think it was a great fit.
Wow.
Yeah. It sounds like kind of a dream job for you, huh?
I think it is, yeah.
He's a young fella. I think he's going to be around. He'll have gray beard one day. I'll say I knew him when.
Right, but this is a big opportunity. I mean, you can make a pretty big impact. That's a big, a lot of square footage you're dealing with.
It is. And like I said, it's a process. It's not going to happen overnight, but we're definitely seeing that improvement. And that's what's really exciting and rewarding.
Mm-hmm. And it's great that there's the Congress Center's leadership feels as passionate as you to hire someone to put somebody on point on this. That's pretty innovative.
I think they could really be a standout nationwide.
Well, they are leading. You said there's only a handful or if any like you, right?
I mean, imagine if you got the LEED certification. I mean, what that would do as far as bookings and I'm sure it would get tons of press too.
Oh, yeah. We would market that.
Yeah, thank you. You wouldn't hide that fact.
Right.
Not at all. So you went through the LEED certification process, and that's how you became a consultant initially.
Right.
And so I always am interested in career paths because I have a background in the environmental business. I worked my way through college for a waste company, so I did a lot of recycling myself. I did. Like Smarta Clean and Beautiful. I helped with their Christmas trees and their yellow pages. That's how old I am. They had yellow pages. I guess they're still around. I think my mom still uses hers.
Yeah. When a little kid comes by and to sit up tall, that's what they use it for.
Right.
That's what we used it for when my kids were little. But I think they still are out there. But I just never, at that point in life, there was not a whole lot of really jobs around that. So I'm always curious. I wonder if there's many colleges that offer any type of, do you happen to know that?
There are some that offer bachelor degrees that focus on sustainability. Not many. I think it's still, you know, the whole industry is growing. And whether it be a career or education-wise, it's still growing and people are trying to still understand what are the key points and what are we focusing on. But I know there are programs out there that do teach about sustainability and environmental.
You know what would be cool? Would be an international sustainability PhD, MBA, something like that. Mm-hmm. I think that would be a useful thing to have.
It would be interesting to find out if there are, like you said, get one of those college people in here, see what their courses look like,
I actually have a meeting with International Conflict Resolution, the director of that next week. So I'm going to ask him about that.
Right. Yeah. I wonder if maybe internationally they're more ahead of us, you think?
Probably I'm gonna in have, Europe. Yeah, I'm going to have the SAGA Alliance, which is the Swedish-American Green Alliance.
Right.
I've got two ambassadors, the ambassador from Sweden and ambassador in D.C. that's going to be on my show, and we're going to be talking about that.
Oh.
So you'll have to listen in on that one.
I certainly will. And I know Georgia State University has an MBA program that touches on corporate and social responsibility and ethics.
Right.
I don't know how well integrated environmental sustainability is in that program, right. But I know they're bringing it in more and more.
Yeah, I'm actually in a course that will be covering that, so I expect to ace that
you
portion.
Better. You better. I want to see those grades every quarter on that.
Okay.
If you don't get an A, you're never going to hear the end of it.
All I need to do is stay awake. stay awake and I'll make an A.
That's your secret of success in college?
That's it. Pay attention and stay awake. Yeah. So you graduated from Florida State. What was your degree in?
Residential science and housing. That's actually where I first learned about LEED. And I was actually studying to go into real estate development or construction or property management. And was introduced to the LEED program, and that's where it all started.
Mm. Do you go to the BOMA meetings? I think that's what it's called.
Mm-hmm. I don't go to the meetings, but I'm familiar with a lot of the people that work with BOMA.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Well, mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you what I ask all my guests. What is your X factor? What is it that Tim brings to the party that's uniquely Tim, mm-hmm. and kind of helps make good things happen in the world?
I definitely think my X factor would be my passion. Like I mentioned, I'm extremely passionate about this, but also my ability to work cross-departmentally and within all levels of an organization, from the top to the bottom. I think to be able to, because everyone touches on sustainability no matter where you are in an organization, and to be able to work with everyone, I think that's key to success.
Mm-hmm. Having those people skills.
Right.
That's another area that's hard to quantify, but it is so critical. I took a international coaching class, believe it or not.
Wow.
And it was so interesting and enjoyable. Of course, I am a people person, but I think that people discount certain things like being able to move seamlessly like you do throughout different levels of an organization. That is such a critical key to success. So
it really is.
Good for you on that one. So what advice do you have for the listeners that want to achieve extraordinary success like you? I mean, look at you. You landed this primo job at the Georgia World Congress Center. I mean, that's really cool. So why don't you share with the listeners whatever advice you have for them?
Okay. I think on a personal level is to get involved. I think Atlanta is a breeding ground for innovation in environmentalism and sustainability. We've got a number of resources and organizations and leaders here in Atlanta alone that are involved in this growing field. So get involved, network, just talk to people. I think that's really important, and that's a big part of how I became involved here in Atlanta. And from an organizational level, I think transparency is key. No one's perfect, but to show the incremental steps that you're taking and making to improve is really key. And I think transparency, and that's something that has been a focus at the Congress Center Authority, is we're transparent with all of our programs and processes and steps that we're taking. And I think it's really key to being successful.
What networking groups would you say are the go-to groups here in town?
Well, the ones that I go to are the Green Meeting Industry Council, the U.S. Green Building Council, the Green Chamber of the South is a great program. Mm-hmm. BOMA, as you had mentioned. I think those are the ones that I'm most aware of, but I know there's
others,
tons
right.
more.
Which one's the largest?
That's a good question.
Mm. We'll just ponder that one. I often wonder if these events get good turnout or you know, if they're usually kind of smaller, or just kind of, you know, what the handle
I'm
is.
I'm sure they each have their own personality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for sharing your knowledge with us today.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
It's been very insightful, and I'm really glad that I got to meet you, and I appreciate you appearing on the show today.
Yes, thank you.
Guess what, Georgia? Recycling just got easier thanks to the team at WastePro. Whether it's tossing items into your curbside container at home, being environmentally friendly at the workplace, or disposing of your recyclables while at local events, WastePro can serve all your recycling collection and processing needs. WastePro also provides residential and commercial solid waste collection, processing, and disposal. WastePro cares for the communities we serve and truly are the waste professionals. Call us in Athens at 706-227-3222 or in Atlanta at 770-777-1447.